All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to get started. I am Charles Fall. I'm the new director of Dragon Con podcast track, and we're going to be doing a show here when people show up in just a minute. We'll be doing that. There's a few things to go over. First, Blueberry and Spreaker, great friends of the track. They've done a lot of stuff for us, both to help with the track and for the community. So if you'd like free hosting for a month, you can use Dragon2018 as a code on either one of these great sites, Blueberry or Spreaker, and you'll get a free month of hosting, and both are very excellent. There's also materials on the back table that you can pick up. There's also a bunch of free stuff on the back table. Charity, Literacy Action. Please give us your change. Please help us out. We're trying to teach people to read, give books to those who just don't have books available. All things related to that. As you may have heard if you were over at the Trek Track, My Quarter app, you can download the My Quarter app, and it works like a tricorder in Star Trek, right? Any room that you're in that has cool stuff like this, we've got the 3D printed symbol here for us. It'll scan it. You'll get a bunch of points. If you get a ton of points this weekend, 1 o'clock on Monday, they're doing a reward ceremony where I don't know what the places are or how you have to do it, but you get some cool stuff. So check all that out. Usually I give, it's a not 10 o'clock yet. There's no swearing, but we know these guys. There's no swearing anyway. So I guess you're on your own. If they show up, they show up. It's on you.
Well, it's time to start the panel. It's time to start the panel. Guys, what are you doing back there? Come on up.
Darshow.
Something maybe much earlier.
These all would help.
Yeah, anything. Throw cash. I don't know. Whatever.
Thanks for outing us, Bonnie.
Go, Bonnie.
All right. Well, hello. I'm Clinton, and thank you for coming to Technorama / Comedy Forecast and Friends live from Dragon Con 2018 show and podcast. If you tag us on social media, please use that entire phrase because we want to make sure that no one can find us.
You'll have about 3 characters left in your Twitter message after that.
Right.
As I said, my name is Clinton. I am the host of Comedy Forecast, all one word with the number 4, and I'm one of your co-hosts for this evening. Also with me is Chuck and Craig. They'll be here in a moment. They are from Technorama. All one word with the number Rama. But what I like to do every year at the beginning of the show is to go over stuff that's happened in the past year, just to kind of fill you in, because we haven't seen each other in a whole year. I know it seems like 365 days, but it has been a whole year. And we're going to start off with the fact that I'm tired. I'm exhausted from this year, because in this year, we've had threats of nuclear attacks. We've had shadowy figures in the background pulling the strings. We've had talk of a space force. Everybody remember the space force?
I'm actually a member.
All right.
I'm a cadet.
We've also had threats of trade embargoes and tariffs. And it struck me the other day that, wait a minute, trade embargoes and a space force and oh my goodness. We've been living in Star Wars Episode 1, The Phantom Menace. I have to tell you, if Jar Jar Binks shows up, I don't know what I'm going to do.
I really don't like sand.
No. So let's get back to those shadowy figures. Russia. This isn't political. This is actually talking about the fact that this year, Russia hosted the 2018 FIFA World Championship, the World Cup Championship. And
congratulations. Yeah, baby.
I'm a soccer fan.
By the way, congratulations to France, which won the cup this year. And my understanding is that the team took the cup back to Paris and used it to prop up a wobbly leg on the Eiffel Tower. So well done, France. But back to the World Cup. From everything I've been able to read, all the soccer teams that went to the game had a great time, and that even included. See, they're there right now.
Loving it.
They all had a good time.
Whoa. Wait for the punchline, people.
Yeah, even the team that beat the Russians. It's true. Matter of fact, they're enjoying a lovely extended tour of Siberia right now. And which is great because I hear that the gulags are lovely this time of year. But there were other things that happened in the world. We're talking about things that, like with space, where we had SpaceX have their successful launch of the Falcon Heavy rocket this
science.
Year. Science.
Science. Isn't Falcon Heavy a rapper?
And, well, the interesting thing was they took the this opportunity to perform a very important function, and that was to send a car into space, because that's what you do when you have a multi-billion dollar rocket. But there is a good side to this, because it was very important for them to have this test. Next mission with the Falcon Heavy, they're going to attempt to do the same thing with Elon Musk's Twitter account. Because I don't know if you know this, but Elon's been acting rather strange lately, doing weird stuff. Do you remember this whole thing with the one-person submarine that he built to rescue the kids in the cave in Thailand? Now, if you've heard stories about this, it's the people saying that, this is a case of it's not going to work because it won't maneuver through the caves very well, and he didn't know what he was doing. No, I found out the real story. The reason they did not use the single-person submarine is because they were going to have to install Tesla charging stations all throughout the cavern.
Yeah.
So that wasn't going to happen. The good news is, though, is that Elon Musk was able to sell that one-person submarine to Disney, and they're going to use it for the new ride. You thought it was a small world before? You have no idea. We also have lovely Facebook. We found out this year that Facebook had been taking some of our data and somehow magically transporting it across the ocean to a company called Cambridge Analytica. Now, this was a horrible practice, but I just can't bring myself to be mad at them, because the name of the company is so cool. Cambridge Analytica. It's like they're all going around with monocles in their eye, and they're drinking tea and scones and discussing the latest news from the BBC. And yes, they're still terrible people. I just want to make sure we understood that. This also extended into this kind of mess of things happening into the world of fandom. We had Star Trek Discovery that premiered last fall, again, since we last talked. And there was all sorts of discussions about that. Well, I don't know, is this Prime Universe or is this not? Why do I have to pay CBS All Access to see this thing? And if it's called All Access, why can I not watch every single episode of Love Monkey, which was an actual show on CBS? Also, this extended over to Star Wars, because you had all the controversy about The Last Jedi. You know, is Rey really a Mary Sue? Should they have kept the plans of the rebellion secret? Why did Kylo Ren have his pants hiked up like an 80-year-old? We didn't get answers to any of these questions, however. And there were also other things that happened. We had the whole issue with Chris Pine and Chris Hemsworth not being in Star Trek IV. The whole poor box office of Solo, a Star Wars Story. Not to mention James Gunn. Let's not mention James Gunn. All right, so we're going to move on from there. The one thing that was good about all this is there was one single thing that everyone could agree on. How horrible the Emoji Movie was. If you don't remember the Emoji Movie, that's okay.
We didn't either.
Sir Patrick Stewart voiced the poop emoji. Words that should never go together in the English language. But Sir Patrick did redeem himself somewhat a couple of weeks ago. If you've heard this, he's announced that he will be returning as Jean-Luc Picard. And we don't know much about this series. We know that obviously he's going to be older, perhaps a bit wiser, but I was able to find out something. I found out a little tidbit about the very first episode. He's going to take all the chairs in his office and replace them with high bar stools, and then have Riker come in and try to sit down. Poor man is going to get a hernia. But those are all things that happen. Because
Riker's
past.
Aged some, too.
Yeah. Yes, yeah. It won't be pretty. They'll be ripping and tearing. It's not good. Yeah. But all those things either happened or about to happen. But right now what's going to happen is I am going to turn things over to my good friends, Mr. Chuck Tomasi and Mr. Craig Stepp of Technorama.
Thank you. There you go.
All right. We have a story for you. And I'm sure many of you will appreciate this as I did. This is from one of our favorite sites, Oddity Central, because one of the things we do on our show is bring you the news that other sites and podcasts don't. A woman earns a living hugging total strangers. I've been doing it wrong all these years, apparently. Yeah. As human beings, one of the things we often overlook is our daily lives is physical touch. Without it, we can fall into depression and a number of other mental health problems. Some of us already have mental health problems and give out hugs.
That's why we started the podcast.
To fulfill this need, a mother of three from Australia's Gold Coast has become a cuddle therapist and currently makes around $58,000 a year hugging people. Jessica O'Neill claims that her hugs can help those who are suffering from loneliness, depression, or low self-confidence. She didn't get into this strange career overnight. Originally, Jessica... Maybe she started at cons. I'm not sure. Yeah. Originally, Jessica... was a massage therapist and counselor, quite ordinary professions. She noticed that when she hugged her clients during sessions, they dropped their guards and opened up to her more.
Whoa, hello. Ah.
Suddenly, I'm a little more nervous about when my doctor hugs me. Quote, I could see their anxiety and tension
melt
away.
That's not a hug, by the way.
Depends where they hug. Yeah. Then I could get to the core of their persona, and do what I can do to heal them, O'Neill recently said. A typical session begins with meditation. Jessica believes this helps her and her client connect on a spiritual level. Then, they will have a short conversation about why the client has reached out. Quote, everyone has a totally different story, but the most common factors are loneliness, depression, isolation, and anxiety. All of them have that desire to connect with someone. You may think that keep it down over there. You may think that this... We're trying to have real news over here.
Yeah.
You may think that this sort of business would attract all kinds of strange clientele, but Jessica says the majority of her customers are just ordinary people. The majority of her customers are male. Surprise. But she also has a surprising number of female customers. Whoa. Well, while there have been a couple of, quote, awkward experiences, now we're on my kind of track.
Yeah.
Since she started the business, Jessica feels, maybe this is validating awkward hugs, I'm not sure. Jessica feels the vast majority of her customers have nothing but respect for the boundaries she sets. Am I supposed to have boundaries?
Yes.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
Your wife just called, and yes.
Although the nature of what she does is quite intimate, are my hugs intimate?
Oh, yes. Oh.
Yeah, just awkward.
Grab your mom. It's true.
I hug males and females. Craig says he wants into this gig, so I'm going to start a franchise.
Yeah, we'll get the attorneys involved. It'll be lots of fun.
Cardboard signs aren't everywhere, you know. Jessica claims her husband doesn't mind. Jason is very supportive and completely gets it. He loves what I do and thinks it's really beautiful.
Yeah, because she's making $58,000 a year doing it.
I want in on some of this money.
Yeah.
Maybe I should cross off the word free awkward hugs.
There you go. Set up a Patreon for your hugs. Yeah.
All right. That was all the slides for your monologue, right?
Yes.
What's next, Captain?
All right, next, we have a very special guest with us, a special guest that needs no introduction. Therefore, I'm going to give one anyway. When you see this individual, it brings back fond memories of your childhood, of walking through the aisles of the world's biggest toy store. Of course, I'm speaking of Jeffrey the Giraffe, from Toys R Us. Give him a hand.
Yay!
He looks jaded.
May I say what an honor it is to have you here, Jeffrey? Yeah, yeah, blah, 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 living legend. Hey, you got $5? I haven't had anything to eat all day.
He's been on a bender.
Well, I not right now, Jeffrey. Ah, come on, you're a podcaster. You must be rolling in dough. Well, I just want to ask you some questions. Questions, huh? Well, that depends. On what? You got a warrant? A warrant? Yeah, I know my rights. No, I don't want to. This is not an investigation. I just want to ask you some questions. Yo, sure, that's what HR said when they found me sleeping in the plush toy aisle. Hey, I was just tired. I mean, I like furries, but no. Jeffrey, stop. Jeffrey, you seem very, very angry. Let's see. What could be making me angry? What could possibly... Dude, my store went bankrupt. They kicked me out the door. And if you've ever seen a giraffe kicked out a door, it's not a pleasant sight. They keep hitting their heads on the door frame. Ow, ow, ow. Oh, I'm sorry. That's terrible. Ah, that's okay. At this point, I'm just waiting for someone to come along and trank me and send me to a savanna upstate so I can roam free. Well, that doesn't sound so bad. Oh, sure, it's all fun and games until they let a few lions roam free, too. And then, bam, there's Jeffrey, the main course at Simba's Bengal Barbecue. Wait a minute, you Bengal, wouldn't that mean that that's a tiger and not a lion? Really? That's what you get out of that story? I'm about to be an appetizer, and you're doing a Grammar Girl bit? No, I just... Wait a minute, didn't you say you were the main course before and not the appetizer? Okay, calm down. Where did giraffes go to go to their happy place? They go to Toys R Us, that's where they go. All right, why don't we just address the elephant in the room? There's an elephant in the room? Oh, hide me, those guys hate me. Why, what's wrong? I stiffed them on a whole truckload of Tickle Me Elbows once. And they never forget. Well, no, it's just, there are no elephants here. It's just an expression. Yeah? You want to know another expression? Sure. Don't give the giraffe a heart attack. That's an expression? It is now. No, I probably phrased that badly. What I meant to say was, what do you think caused the demise of Toys R Us? Was it Amazon? Was it eBay? Nah, that's too simple an answer. This goes much deeper than that. Oh, yeah. There's a secret organization behind this. A secret group. Ooh, a secret group. It's getting all X-Files in here. Can you tell me the name of the group? Yeah. Come here. It's... Millennials! Fracking millennials! Oh, sure, what's the matter? We didn't have enough handcrafted artisanal Legos for you? What, you couldn't order an Uber from our app? Hey, maybe if I Snapchat a few naked neck pics, I'd still have a job. No, that is not fair to blame millennials for all these problems. You're right. What I meant to say was, baby boomers are to blame. Oh, sure. They're all peace and love and sit-ins to save the whales. Well, what about saving Jeffrey? Huh? And they lied to me, Clinton. They lied to me. They said, oh, don't worry, Jeffrey. We love you. We're going to stay Toys R Us kids forever. Oh. Are you crying? Nah. You can't afford a puppet like that. What's the matter? I mean, look at me. I'm just a head and a neck. Did you lose a Patreon patron or something? No, I just didn't. Was it that guy over there? No, leave him alone. I'm watching you. Jeffrey, I need you to focus. Are you kidding? With these eyes? My double vision has double vision. I saw the Olsen twins and they look like an army. I once saw them standing next to the Winklevoss twins, and I nearly lost my mind. Oh, well, it's good to see you've kept your sense of humor. Who said I was kidding? All right, well, what is next for Jeffrey the giraffe? Oh, don't worry. I always land on my feet. Well, so much for that gig posing for the new set of Animal Crackers. posing for the new set of Animal Crackers. You see, because, wow, tough crowd. Yes, I know they are. But there sure are a lot of them. And a lot of them look alike. Hey, are those the Olsen twins back there? No, no, there's no Olsen twins here. So before I let you go, you mean before you take your hand out of my neck? Yes, before I do that, do you have any final words for your fans out there? Yes? Yes, I do. Well, please go ahead. Thank you. Parents, when you walk through the pitiful toy selection at a Walmart or a Target, remember me. When your kid wants that bizarre and obscure game and you can't just drive out and get it, remember me. And when you think back of browsing through endless aisles of toys and trains and video games, remember me. And then GoFundMe page, because I need to buy a body real fast. No, thank you very much, Jeff. No, you owe me $5. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. Jeffrey the Giraffe.
Get out of here. Get out of here.
All right, let's move on.
Security, please.
I know. He's angry.
All right, next on the agenda is one of my favorite topics, history. We're going to be doing On This Day in History, and we will be using a throwable microphone.
Ooh.
Brace yourselves.
Okay.
And it really is throwable.
It's really throwable. Make sure it's on.
Well, that...
Check.
Okay, you speak into it on this X. Okay. So toss it around the room like one of those party beach balls. And when it lands in your place and there's something on the screen to read, we'll read it. Okay?
No, you'll read it.
You'll read it.
I'll read it.
Let's start the music. I'll start things out like I usually do. Ready? We have music? On this day in history, for September 1st, 2018, this is the 244th day of the year in the Gregorian calendar. There are 121 days remaining in 2018.
Is found in San Luis Obispo, California.
Is he related to you, Craig?
Yeah.
September 1, 1804, Juno, one of the largest asteroids in the main belt, is discovered by the German astronomer Carl Ludwig Harding.
Yay! Oh! You gotta look when you throw the thing.
Give him a heads up there, Scott.
Yes.
It was 140 years.
Whoa! Wow.
Speak closer.
It's a magic box.
Then in a nut. Oh, Jesus. Becomes the world's first female telephone operator when she is recruited by Alexander Graham Bell. Pack to the Bohemian Rhapsody. Boston Telephone Dispatch Company.
Yay!
Whoa.
That same day in 1897, the Tremont Street Subway in Boston opened, becoming the first underground rapid transit system in North America.
Woohoo!
It was 104 years ago today that the last known passenger pigeon, a female named Martha, dies in captivity.
Aww. We need something more cheerful.
Also today, 1934, the first Metro Golden Mayer animated cartoon, The Discontented Canary, was released to movie theaters.
How is that happy?
Yeah. Oh, wait, that's Steamboat Willie.
Yeah.
It was also this date, 1952, that the Old Man in the Sea, a Pulitzer Prize winning novel by Ernest Papa Hemingway, is first published.
Nice ad lib.
Now
here's someone that is related to Craig. Let's see how this goes.
What do you mean?
In Reykjavik, Iceland, Bobby Fischer beats Russian Boris Spassky to become the world chess champion on this date in 1972.
Harrison, you're now on the podcast. Craig, you're out.
Hey, wait.
The future is now, old man.
I've spawned my own replacement. What'd he say? I know where you sleep.
Same date in 1974, the SR-71 Blackbird is set and the record for flying from New York to London in the time of 1 hour, 54 minutes, and 56.4 seconds at a speed of 1,435.587.
Wow.
Open paren. 2,310.353 kilometers per hour. Close paren.
Close paren. Period.
It was 39 years ago today that the American space probe Pioneer 11 became the first spacecraft to visit Saturn when it passes the planet at a distance of 21,000 kilometers.
Nice.
All right. September 1st, 1982, the United States Air Force Space Command is founded.
Space Force!
Yeah.
Who next? There's people in the back that are checking their Facebook page. We should give it to them.
Yeah.
Yeah, Taza.
Hey!
Happy birthday goes out on this day, too. American publisher founded the New York Herald, James Gordon. Bennett Sr., born on this date in 1795.
Nicely done.
American soldier and author Edgar Rice Burroughs was born 143 years ago today.
Well done.
You missed Scott. Try it again.
English chemist and physicist, Nobel laureate, Francis William Aston, born on this date in 1877.
These names are too easy.
Let's fix that.
Okay.
Ingeborg Zakstia, German engineer and designer, invented the human-powered aircraft, was born on the same date in 1895.
Leon.
American Union leader, founded United Auto Works, Walter Reuther, born on this date in 1907.
Yes.
German physicist and academic Hilda Hähnchen was born 999. Holy crap, I meant 99 years ago today.
You got the name and missed the number?
Sorry, Hilda.
Also born on that same date, 1939, American actress, comedian, screenwriter, producer, Lily Tomlin.
You have to do the snort.
One ringy dingy.
Give it to the guy behind you.
Is this the party to whom I'm speaking?
Yeah.
Manx English singer-songwriter and producer Barry Gibb is 72 today.
Woo! Yeah.
What is Manx?
Staying alive.
I was going to say, he's staying alive.
I thought that was a line of clothing.
Blast!
Also born on that same date in 1961, American captain, pilot, and astronaut Christopher Ferguson.
My son. Supro.
Oh, hey, hey.
Yeah. Heads up.
Canadian engineer and politician David Wishel, born in this day in 1967.
All right, who's our closer?
Uh-oh. And that's the way it was on this day in history for September 1st, 2018.
Yay!
Well done. Whoa!
I wasn't even looking. I saved you once again.
Would have been funnier if it hit me in the face.
Let's do that again.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's going to do over.
Yeah, calling a mulligan.
All right. Back over to me. Back over to me.
Back over to you, Clinton.
Well, to say our next guest is a living legend is to make an understatement. Please put your hands together, then move them apart, and put them back together for our next guest, Miss Abby Fallmacher.
Yay!
Hello. Hello, I'm Abby Fallmacher, owner of the Little Wicker Basket Company. Little Wicker Baskets.
They're everywhere.
don't think your mic's.
And whether you're looking for a basket that's small enough to hold the dignity of anyone who's ever been on The Bachelor or The Bachelorette, or one large enough to hold the Doomsday Prepper's entire collection of Speedos, we have what you need.
I have a question. Doomsday Prepper's Speedos?
Well, if radiation doesn't kill the zombies, the sight of those bad boys certainly will.
Oh, I see. I understand now. Okay.
But today I'm here to make a huge announcement. In an effort to keep the idea mill churning, I'm here to show off the first set of items produced by my new incubator fund. Abby's Wicker Fund for Underutilized Lumber.
A-W-F-U...
Don't overthink it.
Well, and wicker really isn't lumber now, is it? It's kind of more of a...
You do this all the time, don't you?
Yep.
Your wife must be a saint.
All right. Well, just tell me about this fund.
It's simple, really. I gave a ton of Bitcoin to egghead nerds in Silicon Valley, and they used it to team up with companies and organizations and come up with new ways to use little wicker baskets.
Oh, is it working?
You be the judge. I brought some samples.
All right. Well, let's have a look. Let me get this. What is this first one?
This is the world's first little wicker athletic running shoe.
Ah.
It's called the Nike Lots of Air Jordan.
Okay, I get the lots of air part, but these don't look very comfortable. Did Michael Jordan really endorse these?
Oh, heavens no. These are endorsed by Jordan Klepper from The Daily Show.
Oh.
Ever since they canceled his spinoff, The Opposition, he'll do anything for a buck. I think I saw him on a corner at the con selling steampunk bottled water.
Well, have you had any takers on these?
Not so far, but I do have a promising lead. I'm expecting a call back any moment from 1-800 call 1-800 gut junk.
No, I don't think that's all right. Well, let's move on to the next thing. What do we got? All right. What do we have here?
This is the Amazon Little Wicker Basket drone.
Oh. Wow, this is great. I hear drones are really popular.
I know. I saw one hovering over the parade this morning.
Oh, that's not supposed to happen. Did you report it to security?
Oh, there was no need for that. My dentures are registered as a lethal weapon. Flick, ping, done.
Oh, well, how did you get your teeth back then?
Easy. They're also registered as a boomerang.
Okay, so let's get back to the drone. I see that it has a nice big basket for package delivery. I'd love to see this thing in action. Can we get a small demonstration?
Are you for real? This is just a basket with four toy propellers. It's about as flight worthy as Indiana Jones in a refrigerator.
Oh. Well then why is Amazon interested?
I told them it works with Amazon Echo.
You lied?
Not at all. Watch. Alexa, make this thing lame and stupid.
Fair enough.
Ordering a case of soda.
Well, so that's two for two. You're not really doing very well here.
You wrote the bit. Blame the artist, not the canvas.
Okay, let's dog-ear that for now.
I thought so.
How about we try another one?
All right.
Well, this one here, it looks innocent enough.
Oh, yes, the team in Colorado came up with this one. They call it the 420 basket.
Wait, what?
It can hold 420 dime bags.
Abby!
So you can roll your own.
What are you saying?
Oh, for goodness sake, open it up.
Right?
Yes, please.
Oh.
There are 420 of these little sleeves, the ones that you roll up dimes so you can take them to the bank. They worked on this project with the Denver Mint.
Whew. I thought that for a second.
Yes, so did I.
Well, I think we have time for one more, but I don't see any other baskets down here.
Sure there is, right there.
Oh. This?
Yes.
What is it?
It's the IKEA do-it-yourself little wicker basket kit. The instructions are in easy-to-follow Swedish.
Do you need any special prep?
That's kind of what I was hoping the 420 basket would take care of.
Ah. Well, I think that's just about all the time we have.
Oh, is it already time to get back to the tax audit and colonoscopy show?
Well, that's not the name of the show, but I'm afraid it is. Any final words?
I've told you before, never say final words to an old person.
Okay, I'm sorry. Anything more to say?
This is Abby Fallmacher from the Little Whisker Backer. Whisker Basket Company. Sorry, dentures. Reminding you to buy as many of our regular products as you can. That will help prevent any more of this sort of thing making it to market. And our products are always easy to find. As they always say, little wicker baskets.
They're everywhere.
Thank you, Abby.
So at this point in the show, we're going to try something new. This is one of my favorites.
Yes, brace yourself.
I'm borrowing it from another convention. It's called Actually. Has anybody ever played this game before?
You're about to.
Yes, this is a game where we will say a phrase. You have those up there?
Yeah, they're right.
Okay.
Here.
We will say a phrase. Hopefully it's some kind of statement. And it may have some falsehood in it somewhere, and it's your job to tell us what the true statement should have been. The correction. Okay? Because people make mistakes. This is how we have a podcast.
Here's an example.
This is how we get feedback to our podcast, is that you spelled something wrong or said something wrong. So you have to say, actually, and then tell us what the correction was.
We'll throw the mic at you, and then you can answer.
Yes, it's a throwable microphone. Okay? Now, there's points for getting the answer right, for correcting our mistake. There's also points for attitude. And all the points are meaningless and everything means the same. Okay?
You get the idea. Blah, 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 blah.
Okay. So, for example, if I were to say, after he was bitten by a radioactive spider, Pepper Potts became Spider-Man. To which you would respond,
actually.
Okay, now you got to raise your hand, because I am going to try and keep points on this.
I state your name.
I state your name.
There we go. And then you would make the correction, which is, actually, it was
Peter Parker.
Right, not Pepper Potts.
Luke Skywalker.
Okay. But they get additional points for...
You get the idea. All right, so who's going to start?
Oh, don't forget, attitude.
I did. I said attitude.
Okay, lots of attitude.
The more the merrier.
Lots of attitude.
All right. You mean to start with the first one?
Go ahead.
Many people today don't remember that podcasting was co-invented by Green Curry.
A man named Green Curry. I don't think we have too many podcasters. Oh, we got several.
All right.
Amy.
Okay. Thanks, Chad. Actually, the name you're looking for is Adam Curry.
Correct.
That's right.
Hold on
to it. You can throw it to the next person.
Okay.
You go.
Okay, please wait until we finish this one. Hint, there may be more than one falsehood in here. If you watch the Dragon Con parade this morning, you'll remember that the ending included Futurama characters like Professor Hugo Farnsworth, Hermes Conrad, Fender the Robot, Philip K. Fry, I can't do this with a straight face, and Nixon's head in a bucket.
Yeah, there you go. Sounds about right to me.
Oh, Daniel's going to take a swing at this one.
All right.
that list is pretty long, but actually, it was Professor Hubert Farnsworth.
Wait a minute. Where's your attitude?
More attitude.
He's too tired.
Actually, for you people who weren't paying attention, it had Professor Hubert Farnsworth.
Yes.
Hermes Conrad was not there because no one will show up and be a Hermes in the parade.
Philip
J. Fry, Nixon's head was actually there, that was correct.
Was it a jar?
Yes, it was in a jar on top of the truck.
Not a bucket.
Oh, my mistake.
Hey, as I say,
one for Rob.
Yes.
I have forgotten what else you listed at this point, because you listed a lot of things. It was Bender the Robot, not Fender. There were actually two of them.
We got a new one.
Darth Bender.
So I have to go back to the backstory on this. We were coming in on the MARTA on Wednesday. My God, this is a long weekend. Wednesday, I said, I have a new master plan. As our Futurama group grows at the end of the parade, see, we took the position of parade closer from the 501st, all the stormtroopers. I said, that was step one. Step two is we're going to take more wristbands from them. So eventually, our group will be 300, and they get, like, four wristbands. Well, surprise of surprises today, they were shuffling out all of the stormtroopers and Darth Vader, and in that group was a Darth Bender.
Yeah.
And
Princess Layla.
And a Leia Layla. Now, Darth Bender opens up his chest cavity, and yes, there was Jägermeister in there, as was our Pink Bender. Thank you, Daniel. And he had on the inside of that cover a slave Leela picture. He says, hey, I got a picture of my daughter.
Yeah, that's
because
right.
Because his daughter was playing the Leela. We were blown away that this master plan is moving faster than expected.
That's right.
Seamless. It was a seamless transition.
Yes. So they hung out with us in the back of the parade. It was a great transition of how you go from Star Wars to Futurama.
That's right.
Best ever.
Oh,
okay.
Wait.
Actually, you forgot the Hypnotoad.
Well, we forgot a lot of people. It was probably what's on our list.
All right.
But I'll give you one for that.
Yeah, Bonnie, give one. Many people don't know that Linux is partially named after the Peanuts character Linus Van Pelt. Sounds legit, right?
It does. I would buy it.
Oh, Amy's got it.
Oh, Amy.
No, Amy.
Give us attitude, Amy.
Amy, give me some attitude.
Come on.
Well, actually,
says someone who only uses derivatives of it. Actually, it's my laptop is Ubuntu. There's a gentleman by the name of Linus Thorvald.
Yes, there you
yes.
go.
Yes,
well done. Well done.
Who wrote this? Oh, I did.
Yeah, I was gonna say, wait a minute.
Known for her work on Charles Babbage's proposed mechanical purpose, general purpose computer and the analytical engine, Linda Lovelace was the first to recognize that the machine. Now, this is to find out who's laughing. Recognize that the machine had applications beyond pure calculation and published the first algorithm intended to be carried out by such a machine.
Somebody else, please.
Okay.
Hey. Oh.
Attitude.
Actually, that was Ada Lovelace.
Oh, look there.
Yes.
I love it.
Does anybody know who Linda Lovelace is?
Oh, yes.
Okay.
We can't talk about that till after 10, right?
That's right.
All right, the 1977 movie Superman included such great actors as Marlon Brando, Gene Hackman, Warren Beatty, and Christopher Reeves. Sounds legit, right?
Wow!
No, wait.
Hey. Who? What?
Let me read those again.
My pronunciation. I speak the King's English, let me let you know.
Marlon Brando, Gene Hackman, Warren Beatty, and Christopher Reeves.
Actually.
There we go.
I'm
Ned Beatty.
Yes.
And?
Is there anything else wrong with this statement?
That's all I got.
Okay.
Actually, wasn't that 1978?
Oh.
Nine?
No, you had it right.
It was eight.
Two for Rob.
Hey, wait a minute. Hey, Rob. Wait a minute, Rob.
Isn't it Christopher Reeves?
It was Christopher Reeve. Yes.
Wait a minute. Your attitude can't be indecisive. You got to be.
Do we get that one? This is a decisive assignment.
Yeah, that's what we're just in.
Okay.
There you go.
You're confusing Christopher Reeve and George Reeves, right? Is that what's happening?
Yes.
Okay. Luke clung to the structure as Darth Vader said, "Luke, I am your father." Oh!
Oh my goodness. Go. Here we go.
Here we go.
Okay.
Reel it in, Amy.
Well, actually. Let someone else explain if someone else really wants to.
No. Go for it.
Nice is not the attitude we were going for.
He's actually responding to Luke's prior line, which is, "He told me enough. He told me you killed him." To which Vader responds, "No. I am your father."
Yeah, you
bingo!
Yay.
Well done.
Sorry, I should be clapping from the microphone.
All right.
We seem like a bigger crowd that way.
All right.
Yes, he did.
All right. In the scene, what, huh? Okay. In the scene where the Ghostbusters are climbing up the stairs of the hotel ballroom to catch Slimer, Dr. Spengler says that they were all wearing unlicensed nuclear accelerators on their backs. That sounds legit, right?
Oh, Rob's going to take a swing at this one.
Well, actually, they were in the elevator down the stairs.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Anything else?
Oh.
Tag team.
Actually, wasn't it particle accelerators?
Yes.
And?
There's another one in there.
One more.
You repeat the question.
In the scene where the Ghostbusters are climbing up the stairs in the hotel ballroom, to the hotel ballroom to catch Slimer, Dr. Spengler says that they're all wearing unlicensed nuclear accelerators on their backs.
Hey, you got a 1 in 3 chance of guessing here.
Nothing? Nothing?
5, 4, 3.
Oh, Rob's going to take another one?
They weren't taking the elevator to the ballroom. They're taking the elevator to the 13th floor? 14th floor.
We're looking for who said the line. It wasn't Dr. Spengler. Take a swing at it. Or we'll move on.
It was Aykroyd.
And his character was? His character's name?
Okay.
Ray.
Good enough. We're going to get through this. We can get through this together.
We got one more.
One more.
All right, The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy is a parody of The Hitchhiker's Guide is a parody of the Encyclopedia Britannica from Isaac Asimov's Foundation novels. That sounds legit to me.
Yeah,
Gary. He's making a comeback.
Oh, it's a fumble.
Teamwork. Actually.
Yes.
Yes. It's from the Encyclopedia Galactica.
And there you go. Yeah. And there you have it. There's our game of actually.
And the winner is, by a slight margin, Amy.
Yay! Give her one of Chakotay's rocks.
They're in the other room.
Oh, we left them?
All right. So it's time to play America's favorite latest game show sensation, Chuck and Craig Against Humanity.
Oh, give me a notepad. Give me a notepad.
No wagering, please.
One of them.
Here's how the game is played. I have match game type questions here, and Chuck and Craig are going to write down their answers on sheets of paper. Have up on the stage. We are not going to, they're not going to cheat by looking at each other's answers. Right?
Right. He moved over there.
Actually.
And they will try to match each other's answers. If they do, they get a point. I will also ask one audience member to give an answer, and the audience can consult with the rest of the audience on that. If the audience is correct, if the audience matches either of them, they get a point. If everybody matches, everybody gets a million points.
It's kind of
right. Doesn't matter at that point.
Oh, yeah.
And if nobody gets it right, I get a point. All right. So, I need a volunteer for this. Who would like to volunteer for the first question? Sure, come on up. All right, here's the first fill in the blank. And remember, you can consult with the rest of the group after, but make sure they're finished first before you do that. said, "Hey, Chuck, have you heard about the new version of Windows? It doesn't show you a blue screen of death anymore. Instead, it shows you a picture of blank."
Oh, boy.
Oh, wait. Wait. Right here, you have good ears. All right.
You like our music?
You may quickly consult with the audience once again. Craig said, "Hey, Chuck, have you heard about the new version of Windows? It doesn't show you a blue screen of death anymore. Instead, it shows you a picture of blank."
It's the GIF from Jurassic Park that the guy saying no, no, no.
Steve Jobs!
It's
gotta
be
another question.
Einstein's face.
Yes.
Okay, Einstein's face. Yes. You should guess.
Take any one of those guesses.
Gary's playing to the judges.
The GIF from Jurassic Park, the guy going, oh, no, no, no.
That is their answer.
I like it. That is an excellent answer, but it is not what I chose. I chose Donald Trump.
Whoa!
Already getting political with the whole thing here. What else we got?
Well, I figured that Microsoft was just giving up and had a picture of a Mac. Yeah, Steve, there you go. Yeah, Steve.
I get a point. Well done, Steve. All right. I need another volunteer to answer the question. Any volunteers? Okay, come on up.
Oh, crap.
He knows you too well.
Yeah.
All right.
Craig's son Harrison approaches the stand.
So remember, you want to wait till they're done before you consult the audience. Here it goes. Chuck said, "Hey, Craig, there must be something wrong with my phone. Whenever I try to take a selfie, it starts to blank."
I'm gonna draw a picture.
All right, we're done. Okay, well, let's stop the music. No sense wasting time.
All right, so once again, audience, Chuck said, "Hey, Craig, there must be something wrong with my phone. Whenever I try to take a selfie, it starts to blank."
So it's not again.
Like Imperial March from Star Wars.
It makes something.
Show the poop emoji. I get a point for that. Look at them right now. Look at them.
We'll get out the old scorecard.
I'm gonna go with makes fun of me. All right.
What was the choice?
Makes fun of me.
Okay.
What do you have as an answer?
I kind of leaning towards the poop emoji, but can I change my answer? I'm going to put my phone begins to cry.
Oh, cry. Another emotion.
Hey, I have an app for that.
I know him too well.
Cry.
Yes!
A point for
checking
Craig.
Hey, right, I get an extra point because I drew the poop emoji.
He drew the poop emoji?
Yeah, Clinton, I drew the poop emoji.
The poop emoji? What's a poop emoji?
There's a lot of crap going on around right now.
One last question. Right. We have a volunteer for one last question. All right. Stand up here.
Yeah.
All right, here we go.
Oh, crap.
Our last chance here. All right. Chuck said, "Hey, Craig, I hope our audience doesn't do the same thing they did last year. When we started the show, they all blanked."
Fell asleep.
They're all done. All right.
Do you think these two are clever enough just to say blank? The audience blanked. Do you think they're too not clever enough for that? Okay.
That's too creative for us.
I can get behind that. What are you? Go to sleep. Leave. Play Pokemon left.
They all died.
All right, wow,
so,
Cecilia.
So if you think they left, raise your hand. If you think they cried, raise your hand. If you think they died.
If you think they drank, raise your hand. Well,
they're good. The voting is left, so I'm going to go with the audience here.
All right.
This is on you. All right.
So they left. All right. The audience says that they left.
I want to see Craig's answer first this time.
Oh, dear. All right.
You ready?
Yes.
I said they left.
They left. Oh. Yeah. Sir?
Well, it's not ambidextrous, but I said they left also. Oh.
All right, and that's how we play Chuck and Craig against humanity. Do we have a winner? We have no winners.
All right,
so there we
right,
go.
We're all winners.
We're all winners.
Everyone's all
winners.
A winner.
Everybody gets a trophy. All right.
All right, we're going to try to do this real, real quickly.
5 minutes left.
We got 5 minutes. Take a couple of slips out of here and pass them along. We're going to try to do it real quickly. Fill the blank. Fairy tale.
Guys love the fairy tale thing.
All right, this time around it's going to be a bit different because this time it's not going to be a normal fairy tale. This is going to be the Terminator against the top 40. Your Casey phrases Kendrick. Here are from movies from the 80s for that 80s classic, The Terminator. So when I come to a point where there's a fill-in-the-blank, somebody say, we've got the microphone. Can you get the microphone to the audience, Bonnie? Somebody will raise their hand or throw them the microphone. All right, here we go, real quickly. A long time ago, 1984 to be precise, in a magical place called La La Land, an evil cyborg known as the Terminator arrived from the future. It was on a mission to stop the birth of John Connor the Brave. To do this, it needed to kill John's mother, Sarah Connor the Waitress. Fortunately, a brave soldier named Kyle Reese the Anguished also arrived from the future, sworn to protect Sarah. Once in La La Land, Kyle gazed into the pages of the La La Land phone book and revealed the address of Sarah Connor. And Sarah Connor. And Sarah Connor. Sadly, it was a very common name in La La Land. One step ahead of Kyle, the Terminator arrived at the castle of the first Sarah Connor. He knocked at the gate. When the princess opened the gate, the Terminator said, "Are you Sarah Connor?" And the princess gazed at the machine and said,
"Nope.
That dude looks like a lady."
And the Terminator killed her.
If you prefer, you can sing the song title, too. Yes.
The Terminator then arrived at the castle of the second Sarah Connor and knocked at the gate. When the princess opened the gate, the Terminator asked, "Are you Sarah Connor?" The princess gazed at the machine and said...
Sounds like the Three Little Pigs.
Hello? Is it me you're looking for?
And the Terminator brilliant. Killed her. As luck would have it, Sarah Connor the waitress was not in her castle that night. She was at a friendly local tavern where the music was hot and the grog was cold. But the Terminator located her. The machine walked up to Sarah's table, slowly pulled out a gun, and carefully took time to focus the laser target on her forehead. It was a slow night. About to fire, the Terminator asked, "Are you Sarah Connor?" And Sarah gazed at the machine and said... Just as the machine was about to kill Sarah, Kyle the Anguished appeared and blasted the machine through a window. Kyle knelt beside the confused Sarah, held out his hand and exclaimed, "Come with me if you want to live." And Sarah said,
"Oh my goodness.
Walk like an Egyptian."
Through a series of events that were more action sequence than plot, our two heroes found themselves in La La Land police headquarters. The Terminator, knowing that Sarah was inside, came to the police station. The desk troll would not let the machine enter. The Terminator looked around the room and leaned in towards the troll. The troll said, "What?" And the Terminator said...
"Let's look for the purple banana until they put us in the truck."
And then it drove the truck through the station doors and killed the troll and all the police officers inside. But once again, Sarah and Kyle escaped. The Terminator was now in jeopardy of losing his 5-star rating with the League of Assassin Machines. At a distinguished local lodging known as the Tiki Motel, Kyle gathered supplies and taught Sarah the art of making holy pipe bombs. This activity naturally led to romance, as it always does. Kyle looked at Sarah and said, "I have always loved you." And Sarah said,
"You are the wind beneath my wings."
The next morning, Sarah had a certain glow about her. Kyle asked, "You did take the necessary precautions, right?" Suddenly, the Terminator burst through the door of the motel room, but Kyle and Sarah had escaped. The Terminator knew that all of this would come up in his next annual review. Eventually, the Terminator chased our heroes to the Royal All-Purpose Machinery Factory. In an effort to save Sarah, Kyle shoved one of the holy pipe bombs into the Terminator's metal frame. Kyle said, "Die, Oedipus enthusiast." And the Terminator said... The bomb exploded, ripping the Terminator's legs away. It also fatally wounded Kyle the Anguished. Sarah rushed to his lifeless body, and with tears in her eyes, she looked down and said,
"Never gonna give you up. Never gonna let you down."
That's right. Kyle was Rickrolled even in death. The bomb exploded, ripping... we already passed that point, right? As Sarah grieved, the Terminator rose from the wreckage and began to crawl towards her. Now it was personal. Sarah managed to trap the Terminator in the Royal Hydraulic Press. As she activated the controls to lower the ram, she looked squarely at the machine and gleefully said to him... The Terminator was crushed. Literally.
Crushed.
All that was left was the machine's arm, which surely could never be of any use to anyone. Sometime later, and now pregnant Sarah Connor, the waitress, drove through the desert. She stopped at a petroleum station to refill the Royal Jeep. A young boy snapped a Polaroid photo of Sarah. The boy then looked to the sky, pointed to the clouds, said, "There's a storm coming." Sarah replied... Then Sarah drove off. As she headed towards the approaching storm, she thought to herself, "It's the end of the world as we know it, and I feel fine." The end! Yeah. All right, that wraps up our show. Once again, I'm Clinton from Comedy Forecast, located at comedyforecast.com. Chuck and Craig from Technorama, located at chuckchat.com/Technorama. Please rate us in the app when you get a chance.
Wait,
remember that this
rate us well.
Rate us well. And remember, the charity bucket is up here at the front. And thank you for coming to the show. And thank you for the staff for being here as well. Big hand to them.
You can leave now.
Woo!
Oh, wait. 101.